Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. Well, it is Missions Focus Month here at Christ Fellowship. So here on the podcast, we are going to bring in some amazing guests to talk about the work they are doing for our community right here in North Texas. You are going to love hearing from these passionate people, and I think you'll be inspired to go out there and serve right alongside them. To kick things off, we have Dana Riley from the Samaritan Inn, an organization that's been here in McKinney for a long time doing some great work with those who find themselves without a place to live. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. We are in the middle of our Missions Focus Month, which is really cool because it is where we really focus on, particularly this year, our community partners. There are so many partners around McKinney, great organizations doing amazing work that Christ Fellowship is really privileged to work alongside. And my hope is that after listening to some of these podcasts, you will be motivated to get involved with some of our community partners. And to kick off our series is Dana Riley, and she is with the Samaritan Inn. So Dana, welcome.
Thank you. So good to be here.
I'm glad you joined us. So tell us a little bit about what the Samaritan Inn is and does.
Well, the Samaritan Inn is a homeless program. We help single men, single women, and families who are experiencing homelessness. Mm-hmm. And we are not a shelter per se where you can just come and stay.
Okay.
We are a program, so those residents who are accepted in our program have to work the program. And we've been around for 40 years, so we think we know a little bit about what we're doing. And for the most part, our residents stay very, very busy when they're with us because they have weekly demands on their time, in addition to working a full-time job and caring for families too.
Yeah, that's a lot. So we're going to get into that in just a minute. I want to hear kind of like what it's like, how would someone enter the program. But before we get to that, I would love to know a little bit about the history of the Samaritan Inn. So you said 40 years.
Yes.
So that's quite a while.
It is.
And you guys, and you told me earlier that you guys are the only homeless shelter, homeless program in Collin County.
We are. That's not specific. We do have domestic violence shelters.
Sure.
And we do have other types of shelters, but ours is the only one that takes single men, single women, and families.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about how it got started.
So 40 years ago in 1984, 10 pastors got together and opened a small house in what's now the historic district. It wasn't the historic district 40 years ago.
McKinney.
It was just a house. And so they set up a day program, and they could take 10 men, and they provided them with job counseling and food and clothing and shelter. And very quickly, they realized that that wasn't going to be enough. Mm. And so through the years, our program has expanded. The first expansion was to accept single women, and they moved to a bigger location, another house. And then they realized that they really needed support for families. Mm-hmm. And so they moved to what was then an old nursing home on Highway 5. And then in 2019, we moved into our present location, which is a three-story residential building where we can house a little over 200
Wow.
Men, women, and families.
Yeah, that's amazing. So start with 10 pastors.
Yes.
It just goes to show you what the Lord can do when people come together and take this issue seriously.
Absolutely.
And say, we're going to take the commands of Jesus seriously to help people who are the least of these.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Okay. So here we are now. Fast forward. You guys are in a new building. 200 sounds like a lot, but it's really not, is it?
It's not. I think if I could build another building tomorrow, we would fill it with another 200 people because the need is so great, especially with the economy the way it is.
Yeah. So you guys are always
full, I'm guessing. Never any empty rooms.
we occasionally have an empty room, and it immediately gets filled. Yeah. We unfortunately do have to turn people away.
Yeah.
We try to provide them with a meal, with adequate clothing, and with a list of resources so that possibly they can find shelter somewhere else.
Yeah. But like you said, you can't, there is no magic wand to create more building overnight. So.
No.
So tell me a little bit about if someone finds themselves in a situation. Well, first of all, I want to ask, who are the people that find themselves homeless? So I think we all have a lot of stereotypes.
Yes.
So of what those people, those people are.
Let me bust a couple of myths.
Yes, please. Bust all the myths.
The majority of them do not have drug or alcohol problems.
Okay.
The majority of them had something happen in their life. Mm-hmm. A catastrophic illness, a job loss. A family member who suffered a catastrophic illness and that needed care. And so those are our top two reasons people find themselves heading toward homelessness. Is something happened in their life and they don't have either the family support or the financial resources to weather that storm.
Yeah, it's not hard to imagine because if you're living paycheck to paycheck, which a lot of us do,
yes,
especially right now, as like you said, the economy, the inflation, everything just costs more.
Yes.
You can see how your money would just be stretched to the brink.
Yes.
And then, like you said, it just takes something.
You know, the median cost for rent in Collin County for a one bedroom, tiny little apartment is $1,700 a month.
Wow.
Yeah. And that is unreachable for many people who are working in just above minimum wage, say $10 or $12 an hour.
Yeah. And then you add on to all the other costs of
yes.
transportation and then not even to mention, you know, trying to afford health insurance.
Yes.
And so I can imagine how if you can't afford health insurance and then you get really sick or someone you love and your family gets really sick, then all of a sudden you're facing a mountain of debt.
It really is a domino effect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's not great. What I meant to say was it's good that you're telling us this.
Yes.
Because I think people sometimes we have this. Well, I mean, let's face it. Let's be honest. It's easier to push those people away if you think like it's their fault.
Right. And almost all the time it is something that has happened to them, not a choice that they made. And so our program just allows them to kind of reset.
Yeah.
And we know that if you are provided housing and food, then you can reset your life. You can figure things out. And with our program, we provide all of the support. Mm-hmm. We definitely wrap our arms around them mm-hmm. and say, you know what, you can do this and mm-hmm. it's going to be okay. And we're, whatever happened yesterday, that was yesterday, mm-hmm. but we try to look toward tomorrow.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. So let's say someone finds themselves in that situation where they're either homeless or about to be homeless. They're about to have their house foreclosed on or they're about to be evicted and they come to you guys. What would be the next step?
So everyone must provide a government issued ID. If
okay.
they come with children, they need to bring documentation that those are their children. They have to pass a drug and alcohol screen. And then they have to meet criteria for criminal history.
Okay.
So we don't take anyone with a felony against another person or an animal. So
okay.
If they have that kind of thing in their background, there are other programs, but that's not us.
Yeah. And the reason for that would be because you have all these people living in close proximity.
Absolutely.
And you need to provide a safe environment.
We want to be sure that we're safe, not only for our residents, but for our staff and volunteers
yeah,
too.
That's a good point. Okay. So they pass those screens and then what's next?
So they meet in a private meeting with our case manager and they lay open their story. They talk about what happened, how they got there, and we kind of gauge what their thought process is about going forward. Are they ready to make a change? Are they ready to do the hard things mm-hmm. to get themselves and their kids back on track? And so any given time we do an intake, we might have 10 families who are trying to get one bed. And so those decisions are very hard and they're not taken lightly by our case managers. They want to choose the family that has the best chance for success. and that is has the right mindset to be able to live communally, obey the rules, do the work that needs to be done, and it is not a walk in the park.
Okay, so tell me what that's like. once they're admitted, and what happens next?
So they're given about a week to assimilate, and then once they've had about a week, then they begin weekly case management. And we have four pillars. Case management is one of them, and it's all mandatory. So you can't say, well, I don't need to talk to my case manager this week. You have to do it. And then we have mandatory mental health counseling. There are so many times in my life that I wish somebody had made me go to counseling because, you know, it's a catastrophic thing that's happened. You or your family has become homeless.
I can imagine.
So you need to talk to somebody about that.
I mean, that's, talk about trauma.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And then in addition, they have to go to weekly career development workshops. So we have job readiness, we have a resume writing workshop, we have interviewing skills, all of the things that help them either find a job or get a better job than the one that they have now. Because many of our people are underemployed. They're just never going to make enough money.
They're making minimum wage.
Yeah.
Can't support a family.
Absolutely. And then lastly, financial literacy. Now, I went to high school in the 70s. And my home ec teacher and my parents taught me all about checkbooks and banking.
And how much those interest payments are on those credit cards that seem like magic.
So all of that I had in my toolbox when I graduated from high school. But that's no longer the case. And we have entire generations of people who have not been taught about finance. And so we make sure that they understand so that going forward, they understand the importance of saving. Delaying something that you think you have to have today in order to be able to afford something bigger later. Mm-hmm. And so those four pillars really make up our program. We provide shelter. We provide food. We have a lovely kitchen full of staff and volunteers who take the donated food items and make these amazing meals. And then we provide them with all the toiletries and basic necessities that they need. We want them to save every penny while they're with us.
Yeah. Yeah. So they can, you know, put a down payment on a new place or pay all those deposits. Yeah.
First and really last good. Month's rent.
Now, do you guys still have the Purple Thrift Store?
We do. The InStyle resale store. It just got a brand new coat of purple paint, and it is beautiful.
Tell the people why it's purple.
Well, when the building was donated, the donor specified that they wanted it to always be painted purple.
Uh-huh. But now it's kind of iconic. It's like, it, you know
it's
exactly
an icon,
what it is.
And all you have to say is that purple building, and people are like, I know that building. Yes. And so they will take gently used items, clothing, toys, books, household items, jewelry, furniture, and you can drive up and our staff and volunteers will unload it. And that money that is earned by the sale of those items goes directly back to our shelter. So it's a wonderful resource for us and makes up about 8% of our budget every year.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
So all that junk in your closet, look through it, find the best stuff, and then donate it.
Absolutely. And if you feel like you need more stuff, come by there and check it out.
Yeah, get gently used stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's financially literate of you if you do it that way, right?
It's a wonderful, it's a win-win for everybody.
So tell me a little bit about our area, because you were telling me before we started recording that you've been at McKinney a long time. You've worked for the city of McKinney. So you really understand this area well. So are there some unique challenges in Collin County or unique insights that you could give us into our community and how homelessness works here?
Sure. If you Google Collin County, Texas, you're going to get some statements like the most affluent county, one of the most affluent in the state of Texas and even in the nation. But we really do have a great need. And the problem, the root problem, is that we don't have enough affordable housing. And so to expect a single mom with two kids working a $10 or $12 an hour job to be able to afford $1,500, $1,700 a month and food and health care costs and school fees, that's just a lot. And so we just try to support our residents and help them understand what it's going to take for them to be successful.
I know a lot of people who work for our church have to live up in Anna or Melissa or Van Alstyne. Because housing in McKinney has just gotten so expensive.
That is true. And I've even heard of folks who live in Oklahoma and drive down to McKinney to work every day. So you're talking about an hour and a half commute every day in order to be able to afford to live.
Well, that's a big problem with not an easy solution.
That's why 75 is so busy.
Okay. So what are some success stories that you've witnessed? I know you said you've only been around a year, but you've been in McKinney a long time.
I have.
And you've been involved in this kind of work for a long time.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit, what kind of success stories you have you seen?
Well, I think that one that comes to mind, and very often our program serves as a safety net for single moms. And this particular mom, her husband literally went to the store and never came back. And then she out through text message that he was leaving her and left her with two children. And she at that time was not working. And so she had to really pick herself up and dust herself off. And she was very successful in our program. Her girls thrived. They've since graduated from college, both of them. And she is a homeowner and making a lot of money. And we are just so proud of the fact that she did the work. You know, we'd love to say, well, it's because of the Samaritan Inn. It's really not. It's because of her willingness to do the hard work. And to make those hard decisions to get back on her feet.
Yeah, that's good. So you guys are really just providing some support.
We are.
Just like you said, you can do this, and here's some support. Here's some tools and resources. But really, the person has to be willing and able to work the program.
And then for some of those folks who are successful in our program, they have the ability to apply to come to our apartments that we own. Called the Gateway Apartments. And at those apartments, they pay about half fair market rate. So again, they continue to save. They are building a credit history with their being in the apartments. So they have residential history. Some people, when they come to us, they've been evicted. And that stays on their records. So they need to kind of erase that a little bit by having more recent good rental history. And they can stay there up to 18 months. And then they should be ready to get an apartment and have lots of money saved up. And
That's great. So that's wonderful. A great sort of in-between step. Yeah, that's wonderful. What, man, some very smart people have been involved in this. So tell me, how long can you stay at the Samaritan Inn? Is there a time limit on that?
There is not a time limit. As long as you are following the rules and making positive changes, then you can stay. Our families are staying closer to 12 months lately. Some of our singles leave after 6 to 9 months. And that has more to do with the current state of the cost of living.
You really do have to save a long time. And that's wonderful that you have people there to help them go, okay, what's the right number? Where do you need to shoot for? To really give them that support. That's great.
We have a wonderful program of workforce development people who, you know, you might say, well, I just love my job, but I'm making $12 an hour. And they can kind of say, well, maybe you need to take a class, or maybe you need to do an online program so that you can increase your salary, maybe work in a different area, but still in that company. So they really work with them on what they want to do. we all understand that sometimes we see through a tunnel. It's hard for us to see the light. But if you have people who come alongside you and say, you know what, here's some other options, mm-hmm. maybe things that you hadn't thought of before.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I just love how much dignity and respect you treat everyone with. It's this real understanding that, you know, these are people like all of us. A lot of us are really only one catastrophe away from being just in that same situation.
Yes. Yes.
And just giving them that that honor, honoring them.
Right.
But at the same time, helping them to move forward.
It's at the core of everything that we do, that dignity and respect for fellow human beings.
Yeah.
I can't say that if I were in that situation that I would do any different than this person would do. So we just try to kind of love everybody, including each other, our staff.
Yes.
We're like a big family, and we're very accepting, and we give lots and lots of second chances to people.
That's great. That's great. So now here's the big question. So you've told about the program. It sounds amazing. You've told us about the need, which is vast. So what can we do?
Well, there's lots of things you can do. First of all, you can donate to the Samaritan Inn.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody knows that.
Money is always good.
Money is good, and we love it. You can include us in your will or in your end-of-life plans.
Mm-hmm.
You can bequeath us a house, which we have had happen before. You can engage through volunteerism.
Mm-hmm.
We have every week over 200 volunteers who come and help us do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
There is not enough money in the world to pay for all the things that we need. And so we use volunteers. They help us on a clerical end. They help us working one-on-one with the kids, doing tutoring, playing with the children, helping in the kitchen, working our front desk. They're just the heart and soul of who we are and what we do. And so anybody that wants to volunteer can check out our website, and those opportunities are there. We require a background check, and we do lots of training, but it's often hard to figure out who's the volunteer and who's the staff.
Mm.
And we like it that way because we really do work together.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we have opportunities for groups to adopt an apartment at the Gateway Apartments.
Okay.
So when you leave the Gateway Apartments, you take everything that's in there. And so then we start with an empty apartment. And so we have groups who come in and they provide all the furniture, all of the toiletries, they stock the kitchen. And then we have a great reveal with the resident.
Oh, how fun.
And it's very fun, and everybody cries.
Yes.
So that's a wonderful way for groups to engage with
us.
Yeah,
so like a life group, a Bible study, they could adopt an apartment.
Yes, yes. And we provide them with the information that they need.
Yeah, so how many people will be, how many kids?
And even what the kids like. We recently did a little girl, and she loves princesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did her up the most amazing princess room that I've ever seen. So that's really fun. You can also come and for a $500 donation, serve a meal at our shelter. And it's a wonderful way to physically serve a fellow human being.
Mm-hmm.
The food is prepared by our kitchen, and your donation facilitates all the costs involved in preparing mm-hmm. that meal, and also the lights and all of that. So
yeah,
there are so many ways. In addition, you could support one of our special events. We have groups who come in and do parties for our residents. They host, Christmas stockings or backpacks.
Yeah.
So anything that you need for your family, we need.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And back to school time.
Yes.
Needs all the things that your kids would need at back to school time.
Absolutely.
And all that. So yeah, there's lots of ways that people could help.
There are.
In ongoing ways. I'm sure you'd love people to be like, yes, I'll be there every Tuesday at 5.
Yes.
But there's also ways that you could do as a community, as a small group, a community, do things together.
Yes. And then lastly, if you're just curious, mm-hmm. You can give me a call or send an email and I'll give you a tour.
Okay.
Because it's hard to kind of visualize what it's like. But when you come for a tour, then you see it firsthand. And you also can feel it. You can feel the warmth and the love that we have there.
Yeah. So your website is?
SamInn.org. SamInn.org.
And you're Dana Riley.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm going to put that stuff in the show notes.
Awesome.
So people can easily find it. They won't have to, if they're driving right now, they won't be having to remember what
Wonderful.
We just said.
I'm the only Dana, so they can just call the Samaritan Inn and ask for Dana and they'll get me.
That's great. Well, Dana, I hope this really motivates people to get involved. I mean, this is such a need, especially now, to help people in our community. And this is loving your neighbor.
It is.
These are our neighbors.
Yes. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
I'm glad you were here. Well, I like to close our podcast in prayer. Is that okay with you?
I would love that.
All right. Father God, I thank you for Dana. I thank you for the entire staff of the Samaritan Inn. I thank you for all the volunteers. I thank you that you have laid this on their heart and they are responding faithfully to your call to help their neighbor, to love their neighbor. And Father, I pray that you would continue to bless this ministry. I pray that you would give them all the funding and the supplies and the resources they need to do this important work. And Father, I pray for everyone listening that if you are tugging on their heart right now to get involved, if this is something that you're calling them to, that they would respond, that they would get on that website, that they would contact Dana, and they would find out how they can serve and how they can help, Lord, because this is our community. But these are your people and you love them and you have given us the task of caring for everyone in our community. So Lord, I thank you. I love you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody. We will see you back next week.